about our hymnals. So I want you to find your hymnals this morning and open them up. How about that? I know we can do that this morning. I know I can, but I wanted, this one was something that we were talking about singing and how we're supposed to behave and how we're supposed to act in church, how we're supposed to sing songs, and we might just do it this way. If it works. If you get it, tell me about it. If not, don't worry about it. I like John Wesley's, and I'm barefooted, so don't, you know. Turn in your book and get to the place where it's on page 7 of the Roman numerals. And it says, directions for singing. Is it there yet? This is John Wesley's notes from his select hymns that he did in 1761. And it was pulled out, and in the people who did the Methodist hymnal years ago, this is what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to learn these tunes before you learn any other. Afterwards, learn as many as you please. Of course, they want you to sing them as they're printed and all that kind of stuff, but we can alter them every now and then. That's okay. Sing all. See that you join with the congregation as frequently as you can. Let not a slight degree of weakness or weariness hinder you. If it is a cross to you, take it up, and you will find it a blessing. I hear people all the time when I stand up here and look out, and I'll say, why aren't y'all singing? Well, I can't sing. I can't sing. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I don't know how to do nothing. Well, you stand there like a knot on a log, and you look like you've lost your best friend. You're not happy. You're not smiling. You're supposed to sing, the next one says, you are supposed to sing lustily and with good courage. Beware of singing as if you were half dead or half asleep. But lift your voice with strength. Be no more afraid of your voice now, nor more ashamed of its being heard than when you sung the songs of Satan. Uh-oh. The songs of Satan. You know, John and Charles Wesley, of the day, they were very upset with the people, their drunkenness and their debauchery, and they were running around in that part of Ephesians, and he used that many times. He said, I'm very upset. He said, everything that was coming out was the bar tunes and the pubs and all the things. So what he did, those tunes were familiar to the people, so he put Christian words to them. And so it'd be something they already knew the beat to. They already knew the melody. They could already do it. And sing it in time, do it like you should do it. But I like the part about being half asleep or looking like you're half dead. And so when we get to the end here and we're going to sing our last song here in a little bit, I want y'all to sing a little bit louder. A little bit more, and you'll say, well, I don't know that song. Well, you know, the only way you're going to learn is to start singing it. So anyway, it's always fun. The scripture that we just read from Ephesians, the author of that scripture today is going to answer a few questions for us, and it's not going to be that many. It's how can we live wisely? How can we make the most of our time? And how can we be filled with the Spirit? How can we do that? He says, remarkably, the writer answers each of these questions with the same quite surprising word. Sing. Sing. Come and sing. Come and be a part. How many of us were taught that singing is the hallmark of wise living? I don't remember that. But I remember when I was in church as a little kid, in a little piano room with Miss Margaret Holly. Boy, she played that piano. And she would just kind of bounce and she'd turn around and say, all right now, children. And she was the happiest thing. And when I think of her, I think about Miss Iris sitting over there just bebopping and bouncing that little head popping up and down. And when you saw her, she was always into it. I mean, she was into her work. She was excited about life. She was happy. And it was just an amazing thing to watch and to see the goodness of people excited. We are supposed to be excited about what God has called us all to be and do. You know, that's the part of being a part of a church, being a part of God's family, being a part of something different. You know, if we come expecting, if we come giving, you know what's going to happen? We're going to receive something. We're going to receive a blessing. And you know something? This morning, this thing done exactly what I thought it was going to do. It went away again because, as Laura calls this, I can't say the words that she calls this computer, because it's a piece of crap. That's the nicest word she uses. Because it's true. So we're just going to forget that it's there, and we're going to act like it's not there, and we're going to go on because God's called us all to be there, to do that, to sing, to be a blessing, to be a gift, to get away from those things of the outside world and come into this place with joy, with blessings, with singing. You know, that is what we are supposed to be about. We are supposed to be about telling others. We are supposed to be about when people come to this place and they walk in and they see folks and they see how happy they are, they see they're blessed and they hear the sounds and they hear how joyous we are. What do they think? They say, wow, you know, there's some good people. They're excited. Some of them might can't sing that well, but they're excited about it. You think about it. You know, one of the illustrations that I was looking at, it talks about people sharing and giving and how people sometimes are told they can't sing. And so they listen to that as children. And one of my friends one time was told by a teacher down in school, you know, when you had music class in school, and you'd sing and said, son, you don't need to be singing. You just can't sing that good. Well, he listened to that. But later on in life, he began to sing. And somebody said, well, you've got a good voice. You need to be singing. And he sings now quite often in church. He makes a joyful noise unto the Lord. He blesses. And he does very well at it. So many people throughout their life have been told by someone that they can't sing well. You might need to be quiet. And we've probably sometime in our life when we hear people singing or doing something and we're all kind of being funny together, we'd probably say, well, you know, Bo, you might need to calm down there. You're getting a little out of tune, or if you know, you might not need to do that in public or whatever. We all kind of laugh, but you know, we shouldn't do that to people. We should let people make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We should let them sing with blessings and gusto. We should let folks be a part. If someone's willing to serve and someone's willing to do something, let them be a part. You know, years and years ago, one of the producers, a music director and a producer for Johnny Cash, he was doing one of his first albums, and one of the men in the thing didn't like his voice. He didn't like to hear him, and he said, he's just not good. And another one said, well, he does try to hit all the notes. Well, that was somebody who said something when he was first starting out. You know, he might not have been your favorite, but you know, he made a living at it. You know, people have been told different things all their lives about how they are, who they are, and who God's called them to be. But you know something? We don't exactly always know that. Maybe God has told us something, and we better be real sure whenever we tell somebody that God's told us to tell somebody something. Because if it's our own doing, just because we might not like the way they sound or what they're doing or whatever, we'll say, well, you know, God's not happy with you. We need to be careful. We need to be careful because we're supposed to be living for Jesus each and every day. We're supposed to be singing our songs as we go along in this world that we live in. We're supposed to be a witness. We're supposed to be an example for others to follow. We're supposed to be that light for someone to see. We're supposed to have a joy a song in your heart, a blessing. You know, songs, all of the songs that are around have got a history. The words, the melody, the all kinds of things about them. Many, many years ago, the song Living for Jesus was a song that was written, and I'm going to tell you this, and you're going to say, no, it weren't, but I'm going to tell you that Harold Loudon wrote a children's play for the church he was working in. And he wrote words and the music, and he did a good production. And after that thing was over with, he put it on the shelf, and he didn't use it anymore. And someone said, that was just a great, great tune. We all enjoyed it. So don't think you need to think about it. Well, a wonderful, wonderful friend of his named Reverend T.O. Chisholm was a Methodist minister. A friend of his who had fell on hard times because his health had gone awry, and he had to leave the pulpit, and he had to go out and get a different job. And as he moved, his friend sent him the music, and he said, I want you to write words to this music, to be a song for the people to sing. And so he did. He sent it to him, and then he sent it back to him. He said, I don't know how to put words to music. And his friend sent it right back to him. He said, I want you to let God write it for you. Because you're such a man of God, I want you to let God write it for you. So this morning, as we come to our time of our hymn of decision, our hymn of decision this morning is Living for Jesus. And that's the words that the Reverend T.O. Chisholm wrote. And he sent them back to his friend. And for some reason, the Lord must have put a lot of words on his heart because he had four verses. And this morning, I want you to find your faith, we sing. And we are going to stand and sing 2149, Living for Jesus. And always know that when you're in this place, that our altar is always open for you to come as you can and will. I ask you to stand as you can and will, as you are able. 2149, stand as we sing.